This is the Tom Likas Show.
I like the cut of your jib.
The cut of your jib.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
What's a jib?
Don't be stupid.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. 24-7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. That's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you and me at a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And on this bonus hour, as we do every Tuesday, live at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we are joined by family law attorney Adam Sachs. Good to see you, Adam.
Good to see you, Tom.
Family law. What's
Always
going on?
Great to be here, man.
Oh, what's going on in the world of family law these days?
This keeps getting weirder and weirder,
It
Tom.
Is.
So, you know, there's a thing that Norman Mailer said, which is that you... They asked him, you know, why do you get married so much? And he said, you never really know a woman until you divorce her, you know?
Yep.
And I think that what we're seeing is how strange the world is, how complicated and multifaceted everything has become every year, more and more intensely so, that people are just all over the place. And I think you really have to wonder some of these stories you hear of people having, like, double lives and secret bank accounts and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
You really don't know someone. It's amazing. And the background of a lot of people, you know, you start to, like, you know, take a look around. They're not where they told you they were from, and they told you that they were an orphan or something. It turns out not to be true.
Right.
And it's strange stuff. It's definitely disorientating. There's a kind of a new kind of trend, I guess. You know, there's an article I read, very interesting, and I posted it on my Facebook. This woman works really hard, and she's got a career, and she's cursing feminism, which is something you don't expect coming from a woman, because supposedly feminism created so much progress for women and improved their lot in life so much, which I think is probably not exactly right. But she has a very interesting take. Apparently, she's married and she has kids. And her husband is, like, kind of a sweet guy, but he's a goof-off. And he doesn't really keep a steady job, and he works part-time. And he loves to go snowboarding, and he's, like, having a great time. And in her perception, she's killing herself. She's working like a dog. She's got all kinds of stuff going on. And she's the one really carrying the family. And she's, you know, this modern woman, but she's full of resentment because she still expects that her husband is supposed to be the breadwinner, you know? And she doesn't understand how this could have happened to her. It's the strangest thing, you know?
Right?
She's like, well, we're liberated, so, you know, of course she works outside the home. But he turns it kind of around on her. And I've talked to a lot of guys, and I've seen this around where guys say, you know, my fiance, you know, wants to be a doctor, or she wants to be a lawyer, and she's so ambitious, and I could care less. And, you know, guys are saying, look, this thing that men used to always have to do, go out in the world and knock themselves out, if she wants to do that, then I'll stay home and, you know, hang out, read the mail,
and then get
put around the house.
Hopefully get vaginamony after you leave, because
right?
you deserve to live in that lifestyle to which you become accustomed.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, assuming you don't get divorced, assuming you stay together, it's a very different structure of relationship. And there's this, you know, this sort of official line. There's a lot of, like, things that are supposed to be true. That, you know, technically, supposedly, there are house husbands that stay home and raise the kids, and the wife goes out and works, and that's okay in the modern world. But what these women are exposing is that they don't like it. That even though that's supposed to be cool, and that's okay, and we're equal, and everything's equal, it's nonsense. The truth is that as much as women want to work, perhaps, today... that's working for mad money, and for, you know, fun and bonus money or whatever it is for them, and they still expect their husband to be the primary breadwinner in the family. And when they discover that things have become confusing for men, and men don't necessarily pick up that role automatically anymore. And they say, look, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to knock myself out. And I don't want to. If you want to support us, that's great, sweetie. And I'll watch daytime television and, you know, wipe off the kids' runny noses, and you can kill yourself in the corporate world. That's really something. I was really thinking about that.
There's a lot of that out there. And, look, the bottom line here is, sure, you could stay home. I had a guy who lived on my street in Hollywood. He was a former federal agent, and he married a woman who was about 20 years younger than he was. So he had, and not only that, but he had early retirement. When you do that kind of job, you can retire at like 55.
Right.
And so here's this guy. He's got a relatively new wife who is, let's say, 35 or so, and she is an entertainment attorney.
There's
a very interesting couple, the entertainment attorney and the former federal agent. And so this guy was a house husband.
Right.
So he had the baby Bjorn, and he had the baby in the baby Bjorn. And he had a, well, every week or so, there'd be another case of Sierra Nevada. It was the green box out there with all the empty bottles in it. And literally, this guy, before 12 noon, would be walking around with the baby strapped to his back and a bottle of Sierra Nevada. He's walking around the neighborhood. Okay.
And his pension, I guess.
And so here's the wife, and she's going to, she's going, first of all, she just went through the pregnancy, and now she's at the law firm, and she's there in Century City all day, every day. And this guy's, he's got ESPN blasting from the house. He's got Pardon the Interruption playing, and he's got Sierra Nevada, and he's got the baby and the baby Bjorn. And the amazing thing about this is if they get divorced, chances are he's going to get the big money.
Right. And this is the life she wanted, right?
Right.
I love that. That's amazing.
So my recommendation to him would be do this for 5 or 6 years and then bolt. And then tell the judge that you want to have the lifestyle to which you become accustomed.
Right.
And be done with it.
So, you know, there's this little research project we did this week, right, Tom?
I haven't told everybody that you were the one who helped me with it. They could have guessed that. A lot of people thought Dean was, you know, out with the Louisville Slugger.
Yeah, I know Dean is good at that sort of thing.
He is, and he's, you know, definitely one of the top amateur detectives I know.
So just fooling around without going crazy, right? The first thing that I did is I found...
Well, first, let's tell everybody what happened.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I'm going to bring them up
nobody,
to date here.
Well, nobody knows that I called you late at night one day last week.
Well, I knew something was wrong.
First of all, I sent Adam an email, at which he responded to immediately, as he does. And then suddenly we're on the telephone about 10:30 at night. And I was telling him... Yeah, I don't know how many of you heard the story.
You were in a panic, Tom.
Well, I don't know if I was in a panic, but we told a story on the show last week about a woman who I found out was dead. She died 6 months ago.
Well, allegedly at that time.
Well, put it this way. That's what people were saying, yes, saying she was dead. And the thing is, I know lots of people who know this person. And so I called some of these people. Now, I'll just say this person was a media person, and she worked in the media. And I'm not trying to hurt her kids or anyone else in her family or anything like that by talking about this. So there's no necessity to go into the specifics of who she is. But she was in the entertainment industry. She was a TV producer. She had done various jobs in the television business. She had worked in radio as well. And she knew a lot of the people that I know. And so I just picked up the phone, started dialing a few people saying, hey, you about this person? Oh, I haven't talked to her in a while. Yeah. Well, she's dead. What? And I was getting like these outrageous reactions from people going, where did you hear this? What did you hear? I said, well, that's the thing. I haven't heard anything. I found it by accident. And the way I found it by accident was I went on Google and I typed in her first and last name. And you know how Google does that quick fill thing, that autofill? Before I could finish typing her last name, the word obituary popped up.
God.
So it was, you know, Jane Doe obituary. And then there was another one, Jane Doe death. And then there was another one, Jane Doe cemetery.
But it wasn't really authoritative, right? It was all this kind of high school stuff, some like alumni association.
Well, when I did this, I didn't even know about that. I typed in the first and last name. The word obituary came up. So I followed it to the page of this person's name plus the word obituary. And there were references to her, where she lived, Studio City, where she went to high school. And the one mention of her death that I found anywhere was on a Facebook page for her high school. And on that page, it said that she had died and that she had, somebody had an old story that she had written or an old blog she had posted or something like that. And so they posted what she had said about a trip she made. And it was all in there. But that's all I knew. And here was something, and this is why I was very curious about this. Today, there's not a person I know who, if I type their name in on Google, I wouldn't find at least one photograph of them, and usually many. And people don't even remember that these photos are online because they post them in places like Photo Bucket or Picasa or Google Photos. And so every time you post one of those things or store it in your subdirectory, it shows up on the internet and anybody can access it. People don't even know that. You know,
that stuff never goes away.
When Google is offering, hey, we'll sync your phone with Google, and so every photo you take, every dick pic, everything is getting posted online. Well, here is somebody who, although she used an iPhone, she had scrubbed the internet of every possible photograph and many personal references to her. So the only references that existed were she was a member of the Directors Guild, and there was a list of people who were members of the Directors Guild, and her name appears in there. Or there was a list of people who were available to do various television jobs. There were a couple of references to her having been a member of the PTA when she raised her daughters. And that was it. And even in those PTA references, no photos. No photos of the daughters. No photos of the husband. No photos of her. Nothing. There was nothing. You know, I know a number of people, because I turned 60 recently, you just start seeing this stuff. You know, I've known a number of people who died, and they didn't exactly send me a notice that they were going to go. You know, so I didn't know, and I might be looking for somebody, and I find out they died. But when you find out, that what do you see? You see pictures of the wake. You see pictures of the cemetery. You see pictures of the friends who got together to have coffee and cake to talk about the deceased. You see born this day, died this day, the Social Security Death Index, there's a reference. They've been added to it. There's a million references. Do you know, if you go to the Social Security Death Directory, our friend, the former TV producer, does not yet appear in there, even though she's been dead for 6 months. Now, maybe it's normal. Maybe it takes 2 years to get listed in there. Not in there. No death notices, no obituaries, no nothing. So the more I notice that she had scrubbed herself out of existence, the more I'm wondering, what was going on here? Is this a... And then my thought was that it's a suicide, and that she was busy scrubbing every reference to the fact that she ever existed. But I called Adam, and sure enough, within minutes, Adam and I were talking about the stuff he was finding. And there was a lot of stuff that could be found. It just wasn't on Facebook, and it wasn't on Google. So why don't you tell us about some of the things we did find?
Well, I mean, one of the things was that some of the biography that she had even told you herself was false, right?
Well,
she had told you her father was dead.
Well, I knew that had happened, but I didn't find
out
from her.
Hadn't she lied to you, though, right? She made a story.
She told me her father was dead.
Right.
And later on, somebody told me that they'd seen her father in court.
Not dead.
Of all places. Uh-huh. So I'd seen him in court. And I later found out from somebody else that she may have been the victim of molestation as a
kid. Horrible,
so
yeah.
She wrote her father off as dead, but she didn't mean it literally, or maybe she wanted me to believe it literally, but father was alive.
Well, just looking at some of her court records, right, we found her bankruptcy from a few years ago, and she had amassed a kind of a small real estate empire, and it was all based on nothing. She mm-hmm. was actually many, many millions of dollars in debt. So she might have been something of a con artist. I mean, not really clear.
Right.
You talk about these people, like, living these large lives. You know, you see these people living in, you know, nice parts of Los Angeles driving brand new cars and stuff, and it turns out they're broke, you know, and I think she was one of those. And then I was looking at her criminal documents, and she's got cases of drunk driving and driving on drugs and so forth, and that's where we hit the pay dirt. We found her death certificate,
right?
Which I know was a big relief.
At one point, I wondered if she'd been murdered because there was no references to her anywhere.
It seemed like she had faked her death, maybe, you know? If somebody puts like an insurance policy or disappears or whatever.
Right.
What I take away from it, which is, you know, it's sort of unnerving, and she seemed like she was living a double life or something, was, you know, as crazy as it is, how little you really knew her. In a way, right?
How and secondarily, how little we really know a lot of people in our lives.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. I mean, if you had been with her for years, right? You had
No. I've known her. My God, I knew her since 1988.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. They kind of do this forensic thing where you start to look at a person's life and you see, you know, especially in the last couple of years where she got arrested and then got arrested again. And
got arrested at 11 o'clock in the morning on Ventura Boulevard. 11 o'clock in the morning and was in jail shortly after that.
In a, right near here, by the way, right near the office that I have in Van Nuys.
Yeah.
And going through these different things, you see that people end up getting into these spirals. And, you know, she wasn't a kid, Tom. She was in her 50s, you know.
She was 58.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, you're supposed to be relaxing, playing shuffleboard, you know, your grandchildren.
At the very least, you know, you should be planning the next phase of your life or something.
Yeah,
you know,
like some hardcore getting arrested and...
you're busy
and,
trying to fend off the bank
the creditors,
for closing your home.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I mean, she owned all of these, well, along with other investors, she owned all of these condominiums in places like Florida and Oregon.
Yeah, like many different states.
Yes. Yes. Hawaii.
Yeah.
And it turned out, as we looked at her records for that bankruptcy, it looks like she had gone around and told people they could have 50% of springtime for Hitler. And she was selling, you know, it was like a little mini Bernie Madoff going on. How does someone who never made more than $150,000 a year amass $11.7 million in debt? How do you do it?
Apparently she was doing, like you say, like the producers, some kind of investment schemes and so forth.
Right.
But it's amazing how unlimited it is now, how the possibilities are so different, and how women do it now, you know?
Right.
These are liberated times, Tom.
Yes, they are.
She was married. I'd love to have an imaginary conversation over a beer with her husband, you know? And hear what he has to say about all this.
Right.
He must say, you know, I don't know what the hell she was up to.
And who knows, you know, because along the way she had told me she was looking to get divorced and stuff.
Right.
But who knows if the husband was just as much in the dark as the rest of us.
Yeah.
He might be a perfectly great guy for all we know.
It's possible.
I mean, who knows?
There's something that they started.
I don't see arrest records for him.
No, he was clean. They started doing a thing now called innocent spouse, which is usually to protect the woman. But if the husband, for example, is a big con artist and he disappears, they used to go after the wife. And now the spouse, usually the wife who's innocent, can say to the government or to whoever, the IRS, say, look, I didn't know what my spouse was doing. He was crazy. He was a con artist. And you can't hold me accountable. And you can get away with that.
But is that true with a tax return where theoretically... You signed it.
That's right.
Yeah, it's not like the guy went out and took 12 loans that you didn't know about, $10 million. There you are. You were shown the tax return, and you probably should have shown it to another party just to make sure it was good to go.
The woman gives the big boo-hoo-hoo and says, yes, it's true. I signed the tax returns, and I'm jointly and severally liable with my husband. But I had no idea what he was up to. Even Bernie Madoff's wife that you just mentioned, she ended up getting $2 or $3 million that they just let her keep, even though all the money was stolen, because she was innocent. And right. She's an old lady, and then they're basically going to make her homeless otherwise.
And we've talked many times about the wife of Frank McCourt.
Yeah, another great one.
Who
Jamie McCunt.
And she was, Jamie McCourt was a an attorney.
No less.
And she'd been handed a prenup to sign, and then later tried to claim she didn't understand what she was signing.
No idea what a contract meant.
Right.
And she's, that worked, you know.
I know.
That's the joke of jokes.
It's outrageous.
But theoretically, I mean, the husband of this lady might have been, you know, relatively innocent. He had this wife who was a, you know, wheeler dealer. He was an ex-priest, right? So
yes.
He was very close to God, I suppose. Something.
Theoretically.
I don't know how he worked that one out.
Right.
And he was no big success in life either. He had a lot of potential unrealized, apparently.
Yeah.
And he had this wife who was on the phone all the time and making all these bank loans and everything. And he figured, great, you know, she knows what she's doing.
Oh, yeah.
But it's amazing, you know, people don't even recognize that marriage is really partnership. I mean, legal partnership.
Right.
In the business sense, not just, you know, having kids or living together. And you are, you know, responsible for your partner's actions. And you're married to a crazy woman who's involved with crazy people, and she's on drugs, and she's, you know, spending like a drunken sailor and doing, you know, loans and Ponzi schemes and investments and all this other stuff. And, you know, she is essentially doing it with you,
right?
Whether you know it or not.
Now, I want to take what we're talking about, and I want to turn this into something actionable for the listeners out there, because there's a lot of people who think they're happily married, they think they're happy, and they really don't want to know what's going on, but, you know, I keep reading
a couple of red flags, you know?
Well, I keep reading this they use this phrase of financial cheating. What is the word for cheating? Financial
fraud, I guess.
No. Financial, I'm spacing on the word. It's a word everybody knows. Anyway, the bottom line is that there are people who think they're happily married, and meanwhile they're married to somebody who's a, yes, financial infidelity. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word
infidelity. Financial infidelity, Mike.
Financial infidelity, yes.
All right.
There's a lot of articles about with that phrase.
It is a group effort here, you see.
It always happens. So the bottom line is you've got people who are married to, they don't even know they're married to compulsive gamblers.
Okay,
compulsive
yeah,
spenders.
Exactly.
Compulsive the hooker patronizers, whatever. And they don't know that. And so there are all these bank accounts and all these you know, investments out there or money stashed away places.
Right. And the wife, let's say, is not very financially savvy anyway.
Right.
And when do women ever care about, you know, numbers, right?
But there are men out there who, you know, the wife has gone out and, like, has applied for 12 different credit cards, and because she's Mrs. You, you have good credit, she gets approved, and she's got all these credit cards that you don't know about, and the credit card receipts are all coming to her office. They never come home. They come to her place of business or
right.
her work. And so there she is buying all these great clothes or going on weekends with the girls. Or
right. By the way, seeing other men at your expense.
Right.
Or, on the car, putting the hotel or whatever.
Right. Or simply, and I've heard of, you know, cases of people I know who had wives who just got into, like, Indian casinos.
Yeah.
Like, you're working all day, and your wife's out there in the IE killing.
She's taking cash advances.
So she's going out, and she's going out to the Indian casinos and gambling. And a lot of these guys don't find out until they're $150,000 in debt.
Right.
And somehow the bill shows up, or somehow.
Like that movie, I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yeah.
A guy who's got a relatively calm life, and, you know, he rips open the Visa bill, and it's, you know, $113,000.
Right.
He's like, honey, what the hell is this?
That's right. So even though everybody wants to believe that they married the good one,
right,
that they had the exception to the rule, that that other women do that, but not their wives, because they are they found the right one. They found the franchise player, whatever. Is there anything that the average guy listening today, who probably suspects nothing, is there a first step? Like, what should a guy do just to make sure he's not in that kind of a situation?
You know, if you got to go FBI on your partner, then you're screwed anyway.
But you already got married,
and
so
guys,
you have to do
know,
your best to protect
the guys
yourself.
That are going through the wife's phone and looking at her text messages and you know, what's that software you put on the laptop, you know, that follows every keystroke?
Well, there's
or
a bunch
whatever.
Of them now. There used to be one that I liked. And I would never recommend installing it on a computer.
Because that would be illegal.
Actually, what I've read recently, correct me if I'm wrong, this is another question that could probably fall under your bailiwick. I read recently that you can install keystroke software if you are the owner of the computer.
That's right. Maybe.
Right.
So it's your own computer.
They can't say you were illegally spying on them because it's your computer. So, back in the day when I used to invite women to live at my place, I was using that stuff all the time. I was putting that software on.
You think about the mentality of a woman who is living with you and using your own computer to go on, whatever, dating sites or whatever and meet other guys. That's really shitty.
Really
unfair.
Sometimes it's not that extreme, but it's still offensive. I had the ex one time who waited until I left the house at 2:38 p.m. I was on my way in to go on the radio at 3.
And you could see her at 3 o'clock going on.
I could see her chatting with somebody wanting to find out about an ex-boyfriend of hers or an ex-fiancé. And getting into details because the ex was getting married to someone else.
Oh, no.
And so she wanted to know
how did
that ever happen. And but she forgot to close that window. And at the end of the day, I came home and I sat down at the computer probably to get the doctor's score.
Honey, what's this?
Are you kidding? I made sure that, first of all, the first place she miscalculated is she had the conversation in Spanish. Oh. And I can read Spanish. So I was reading the entire conversation that went on for about an hour and a half.
Jeez.
And found out everything about her ex. So even though she was with me and bragging about being with me, she was also busy trying to find out this guy who wouldn't marry her is now marrying somebody else. And she had to find out, and she didn't want me to know. And in fact, the first line of dialogue said, okay, Tom has gone to work, so I'm good now.
Yeah,
now he doesn't
get to hear this.
Right. So and then she started asking all these very pointed and specific
questions.
They
really seem to think that the one they're with you is less important and no big deal.
Right.
And the really important one is the one that got away.
Right. Well, they always want the one they don't have, If they, me, they want to
have
the other one.
They got you, so you're a loser,
Right.
The really interesting one is the
one
they don't have.
Here's the sucker who agreed to be with me and agreed to
who gives a shit
let
about
me move
him.
In and everything, yeah.
I was watching Ray Donovan, Tom, and Ray Donovan actually lives in Calabasas, which I appreciate to no end, but he has an apartment in, downtown L.A., and he brings women there and so forth. And, that's a different model. I heard an interesting case about a guy who basically was fooling around on his wife. He had, a double life, and he ended up actually having, children with another woman and everything. And the wife was very suspicious, and he told her that he's a traveling salesman, and he's got to, do things. And out of some kind of weird guilt, he stopped having sex with her, because he was with this other woman. And she was what's going on? And he told her that he thinks he might be gay. And so he's working through it. And he's seeing a therapist.
Right.
And this stupid cow accepted that. And so he's with this other woman, this whole thing's going on, while he's still maintaining the marriage. And I was thinking to myself, there are so many women that would love to be in that situation, that they have a husband who, pays the mortgage. He's not around very much. He doesn't demand sex, thank God, and they can just live a life and not have to worry and go shopping and be stupid. And they're imagining, I have this wonderful husband who loves me so much, but he's in Pittsburgh right now, at a sales convention.
Yes.
I remember reading about Congressman Gary Condit, who was from California, and he was in Washington, D.C., and apparently his wife had never gone to Washington. He was there almost the whole year, screwing his brains out with all his interns and assistants and all this stuff. One of them turned up dead. That's why he became famous.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is that the wife lives in California, has the bragging rights. I'm married to a congressman. Everyone respects her. Everyone's coming to see her. All her expenses are paid. She's raising her kids. Thank God she doesn't have to have sex. Ick. And she's got the perfect husband, right? Remember we used to say that girls wish for the Ken doll?
Yeah.
Gorgeous, great car, great hair. you know, no genitals, you know?
Right.
Well, here she's got a husband that she can talk about, and everyone admires and pictures, and everything's cool. And he's home, like, you know, Easter week, Christmas week. And other than that, thank God, he does that icky thing with other women, leaves her out
right.
of it. And, you know, all her life is sort of taken care of. I think that a lot of women, when you really boil it down, fantasize that they could have a life like that. And so when these husbands have these double lives, they turn out to be serial killers. I think the wife didn't know, but she didn't want to know.
My recommendation to you boys out there, I know you're married and you're in love and she's wonderful and she's the love of your life. I recommend you hire a forensic accountant. I recommend that you investigate.
A private detective.
Investigate yourself and investigate your wife and see what information's out there. Because this stuff that Adam found that I read of the bankruptcy and the people who apparently have been defrauded out of their money and the people who...
Dozens of victims,
yes. And all the other stuff that was going on with the arrests. And by the way, I thought she was just a big drinker. One of her convictions was that she was arrested for DUI for cocaine.
Right.
And
a druggie.
Yes. And so, you never know. I'm sorry. I hate to put the fear of God in you boys, but you never know who you're married to.
But also just think about, like, debts, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, I ended up, you know, dating women that, you know, kind of confessed to me that they, you know, had a lot of debts.
Right.
I mean, but you don't know. Is that 20,000, Tom? Or is that 300,000, you know?
Right.
And if I was going to go into business with you, I'd want to know your background. We're going to be responsible for each other, right? I mean, before you get married, maybe it makes sense to check into someone's background.
I think
and say,
below
you know,
a 700 credit score?
Yeah, well, like even that.
No love.
I would say, honey, what's your credit score? You know, I mean, you know, I've heard stories where before a woman goes out on a date with a guy, she finds out, you know, his credit score.
Which is not legal. Not legal to do.
All right, but, you know, the person's a real estate agent and they have access to it or whatever.
But, you know, all you people who are into demanding AIDS tests or...
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Chlamydia tests or whatever. you should demand in kind, you should demand to see her credit score. And if her credit score is not 700, say it!
Yeah, but see, it's not just 700. It's saying something about her. If she has a very low credit score, maybe she's really irresponsible.
Or a liar.
Yeah, or crazy. She's going to be torturing you.
People with low credit scores are liars. They sign documents that say, I'm borrowing this money and I promise to pay back every penny plus interest.
Just kidding.
And then later on, well, you know, I could just hire a bankruptcy attorney. And, you know, it's a sign of a lack of integrity. And, everybody you get involved with has got to have a high credit score, good record of paying things back, a good balance sheet, and you are forming a partnership. You know, I would not take on an investor without having
exactly.
a complete report.
Exactly.
How, what their debts are, what their level of capital is, working capital. No way. And yet people take on a business partner. Here, take 50% of my business, and I don't need to know anything about you.
Right.
That's insane.
Other than you're pretty.
Right.
That's true.
Right. And you're going to be tired of looking at that face. Just like every guy who ever did her in the past. Boy, you're going to be tired of looking at that face. All you're going to have is a bunch of fucking bills in front of you. That's what you're going to be looking at.
And then all the stuff you didn't know about.
That's exactly right.
And I also think, and I got to tell you this, Tom, you got to follow up on red flags. I know it sounds crazy, but most people are not pure psychosociopaths or whatever. And most of these women are not able to conceal everything in their double life and their secrecy. And I think that even this woman we're talking about, her husband probably had a lot of indications if he didn't know what was going on. And these things kind of come together later. So I talked to guys and they always told me, you know, she did strange things. She was making calls to people. I'd see the phone bill and there'd be these international calls that I didn't know who she was calling. And you know, if you're picking up red flags, man, you know... Your intuition should tell you that something's not right.
Well, the reason I ended up with this girl that we've been talking about is...
Oh, you didn't get serious about her.
No.
That tells us something right there.
Early on, I walked into her house and I saw 6 inches of paper.
From the IRS.
No, it was some of it was from the IRS, some of it was credit card bills that were unopened.
Things that she didn't open.
Notices of audits and all this stuff.
So you were falling over yourself to marry her? No way.
No way.
Right.
Never. Never.
That upset her, right? She wanted to get serious.
We then saw why she would never sign a prenup, and I knew she never would.
Right.
But we then, because, you know, when you have to sign a prenup, you have to lay out your finances.
But the thing is you did have some indications that something wasn't right.
Right.
And it was even worse than you imagined.
It's more than indications that something is right. You have to have rules for yourself. You have to have certain things you're not going to tolerate. Like, somebody who hasn't done their taxes in 5 years...
They may
make for good friends with benefits, but they are not people you want having a joint account with you or signing paperwork with you. Not ever, not ever.
If you look at what goes on now, I mean, people used to get married at 18 or 19 or 20, but if you look at what goes on now, that women in particular are spending their time in their 20s, let's say, and into their 30s, partying and being wild and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, I don't know that you can really find a woman who really has her act together. And they're all basically going to be Cinderella, which is the Cinderella syndrome, Tom, which is that you find a partner, the man, who fixes up your fucked up life. That's what a woman's looking for. And so you're going to meet a woman who's in her 30s that's really got her financial house in order and owns a house and has a high credit score and has savings and has been really fiscally responsible. Unlikely, okay?
Right.
Mostly, you're going to find people that have done a lot of really stupid things, that have all kinds of debts and lawsuits and problems and collectors and all kinds of crap going on, DUIs. You'd be hard-pressed to find a woman in her 30s that doesn't have at least a DUI or two, had a couple of abortions, a bankruptcy or two. I mean, so the idea that you're going to form a partnership.
My girl had all of that, by the way, all of that. She had a bankruptcy 23 years ago. She then another one later.
Right.
Multiple DUIs, multiple jail stays.
Come on.
Right.
Come on.
You know, and that's, I think guys, they go in blind. They don't want to know what's going
on. She might have been great in sex. Good for you.
Right.
But you don't want to partner with her. Not for life.
No.
Well, there you go.
I don't want her knowing my financial business.
And you don't want her having the keys to your vault.
No.
You're going to put her on your bank account?
No. never even came close. Oh, I'll never forget when her boyfriend kicked her out after she had lied to me and him and invited me over to her house for dinner and sex later on. And I arrived at her house, and here was the first red flag. She lived in a house in Studio City. She had 6 cars.
Oh, God.
Do you know any women who own 6 cars?
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I found out who owned the cars when I called her the next day. She said, give me a call. Okay. I called her, and the guy picked up the phone.
Hello. Hello, this is Fred.
I said, yeah. Can I speak to Jane Doe? And he's like,
who's this?
So I said, well, I'm Tom. She worked on a TV project with me one time, and I was gone.
I don't know where she is.
Hung up the phone. Hours later, I got the call. This guy threw her out, just threw her out on her ass. And so where did she go immediately? Came up to my house in Laurel Canyon. She's looking around going, I love your house. It's kind of like a little tree house. It's such a guy
cozy house.
You could practically see in her eyes that she was going around with like a mental tape measure, like going, the size drapes
the
we need in
over here.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna feminize this place as much as we possibly can. And so that was when I handed her my 32-page redacted prenuptial agreement. I said, take that home with you. See how you feel about
Show
it.
Show to your attorney.
Let me know. Take it. And I literally had a box of those.
Oh,
so
man.
If she refused to sign that, and then already you knew there were problems. You knew.
Hey.
So that was it. We're going to take a break because we have to. I'm here with Adam Sachs, and he is here as family law attorney, Adam Sachs. And that means if you have questions about separation, divorce, child custody, child support, prenups, postups, even those wonderful, wonderful restraining orders that so many of you have been getting. Oh, yeah. You can call right now. Or maybe you'd like to do a forensic investigation to what your wife or girlfriend are into.
We're good at that, Tom.
Oh, we spent a good part of last week doing that. Here's your phone number right now. Talk to Adam directly. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's the number. It's 901-3000-866.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. The bonus hour. with family law attorney Adam Sachs at 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. 901-3000-TOM. Free legal advice for you. 901-3000-866. We have a call from a law school student, Wesley, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Wesley, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs.
Hey, Tom, how you doing? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Wesley, what's up?
Not much. You know, I figured I would call in because, you know, we're talking about family law tonight and everything.
Sure.
You know, Wesley, Tom,
a long time ago, I went into a dungeon in Philadelphia and took the Pennsylvania bar exam. So it can be done.
Thank you.
So what's up? Sorry.
So what I was going to say was, Tom, I actually have to thank you for, you know, telling me about the paternity by estoppel law, because I took a family law course last year, my 12-year fall semester. I found out that that's actually become PA law out here in, like, back in 2012. So, I mean, I've had a whole lot of discussions with buddies about that. They were like, dude, why do you think you need a paternity test every time you have a child? I'm like, dude, because if you don't, and several years later, if you find out that she cheated on you and you try to leave because, you know, you don't want to catch an STD because she's having unprotected sex with other people, which is how you have the baby, if you didn't know that from jump, the court could make you pay child support for a kid that she got from her cheating on you. Now,
exactly.
Do you want to do that?
Right. Well, you see what happens, how California leads the country and starts creating these trends, and then the other states pick it up later on, which is exactly what you're seeing there, where this is something that originated
right.
in California and then eventually came to Pennsylvania and elsewhere, just like no-fault divorce. But it is incredible, and guys, I've got guys in the situation, they're pinching themselves. They cannot believe it, where they've done the DNA test, which, you know, you can buy it now in a drugstore. It's not expensive, and you can do it online and whatnot. And they do a DNA test.
Cheaper than paying for a kid.
Well, yeah, but get this. They do the DNA test. They show conclusively that the child is not theirs, and they still have to pay child support because the 2 years have passed. And what could be more screwed up than that?
Right, and I mean, we're all talking about, you know, how if you commit fraud, you should pay for it. But
this is legal fraud.
Like that's the, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, it's not, I've actually had this, like, discussions like this and, like, the importance of a prenuptial agreement with, like, many people. What's it called? A lot of people said, oh, well, why would you get married if you think you need that? My response is always this. I ride a motorcycle. Every time I get on and I put my helmet on and my gear, it's not because I think I'm going to freaking crash. It's because I know it's a possibility, and I'd rather the helmet and gear be there if that does happen.
Right.
Because if not, I'm asked out.
Like insurance, too.
Exactly. So, I mean, and that's the other thing. I'm also like, dude, you have a higher chance of getting married and getting divorced than you do crashing your car tonight.
Right.
But if you were to drive around without an insurance policy, even if it was not illegal, people would probably still think you were an idiot.
Right.
So, also the same logic can be applied to buying a house. You know, you get all kinds of insurance policies for that, not because you think your house is going to burn down or a hurricane is going to come along, but in case that happens, you're protected. So it's like, and the chance of getting divorced, you know, one in every two, is much higher than, you know, your house catching on fire, a hurricane tearing your house
having
up.
Having a car accident.
For sure.
Yeah. Or in my case, having a motorcycle accident or a car accident. So it's like, you know, if you were to not do any of those things, everyone would be saying what an idiot you are. So marriage, which everyone likes to talk about, is like one of the biggest decisions you can make, which it really is, because it's like you guys were saying, it's a merging of two corporations. How the hell are you not protecting yourself again?
Because we're in love.
Yeah, but that doesn't overrule anything, to tell you the truth. That makes you blind and stupid, really.
Yeah, it's like people have been watching too much goddamn Lifetime. Like, dude, that's a movie.
Hey, you're in your 20s, right? You're a millennial?
Pardon?
I was saying, are you in your 20s?
Yep, 25.
And you're going to law school, right?
Yeah.
So with this experience in your life, seriously, do you, you know, you're talking about a prenup, but wouldn't you just not get married? Isn't that the better idea?
That is true. I mean, I understand, like, it's not that I'm looking to get married. Like, I'm just saying, like, if I ever found somebody that I think I would do that with, then, yeah, I mean, these are the steps I would take. Now, if I don't find anybody that I will do that with, the reason I'm saying that is because based on all the things we were just talking about and the fact that it seems like the family law is kind of shifted in favor of females more often than males.
Kind of? Are you serious?
Okay, not
slightly shifted? It's overwhelmingly shifted. It's stacked against men. It's ridiculous. Please.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, the fact that women have that huge advantage over men in the court system.
No, forget
it. It's like, I'm not about to take that risk with just anybody. So it's like, if I was going to do that, here's how I'm going to minimize that risk as much as possible. And any woman that I meet that doesn't like that, there's the door.
Right. So what if we made a service where we charge, I don't know, like $500 or something like that, and we do a full background check on your fiance before you marry her? And we check her credit, and we check her debts, and we check her criminal record, and just to know who the hell you're with, because you really think you know, but you don't. And you find out
that's
people
true.
Have completely changed things about themselves.
I mean,
a lot of guys also, and I've seen this many, many times, you would not believe how many guys meet a woman in a strip club as a stripper, and they marry a stripper.
I'm in love with a stripper.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, they think they're gonna calm her down, and they're gonna, you know, make an honest woman out of her and turn a whore into a housewife. I know it's crazy, but you wouldn't believe how many guys do that. And they think it's great.
It,
I'll
man.
Get this sex
I'm,
maniac, you know. Except she'll put no, it all,
man,
it'll
I've
all be on
it.
Me.
I've seen it, and you know what? Like, it's crazy because I mean, back when I first started listening to Tom, he was always telling women about the fact that there's women that think they could do this with like these dickhead guys that. You know, you meet this guy, you know he's dusty as shit, and you're gonna try and convert him. Like, you think if you throw enough pussy at him, he's gonna change into like this what's it called, church going guy? Like, no,
yeah,
doesn't work like that.
A lot of women fall in love with a man's potential, and they say, yeah,
right.
He's kind of screwed up and misguided, but you know, with the love of a good woman,
right.
We're gonna straighten him out.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah, we're gonna fix him. Wesley, good call. Thank you. 901-3000. Tom, that's our telephone number. Our bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We are here with founding law attorney Adam Sachs. When we come back, we'll tell you how to get in touch with Adam. So don't go anywhere.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000, Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. By the way, don't forget that Wednesday night at midnight, that's August 31st, tomorrow, if you're listening live, that's it. We are shutting down sales of Pedal to the Metal. That'll be it until the next vintage comes out. So if you have not gotten your Pedal to the Metal yet, I know Adam Sachs has gotten his Pedal to the Metal.
Tom, I got to tell you, I got two cases. And it is amazing.
Oh, thank you so
and
much.
And by the way, every friend that I've shared it with, they're like, oh my, what is this?
Yeah.
This is great stuff. It would be terrible not to get some.
A lot of guys we saw at the Dodger game the other day wanted to tell the story about that. It was pretty cool. So thank you for
people do a double take.
Being one of them. Absolutely. You want to get your Pedal to the Metal, you got to do it right away because tomorrow night at midnight, that's going to be it. All you have to do is go to the website tom.wine. Just get one bottle to taste it. You really want to taste this. Go to tom.wine, as in www.tom.
And you're telling me that's it? Tomorrow.
That's it.
You're not selling it after that's gone.
No, that's it.
You got to be kidding me.
No, we're done.
Guys, last chance.
Yeah. Coming up. Go to tom.wine. Get your Pedal of the Metal right now. tom.wine. Adam Sachs, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check me out on Facebook and also on the World Wide Web, www.adamlawyer.com. You can also send me an email. And Tom said I answer him right away.
Right away.
I answer him personally.
10:30 at night, he's on the phone with me. I couldn't believe it.
I got some limits there, maybe. I got people calling me with emergencies late at night, but you're a special case, Tom.
It was pretty incredible.
My email is adam@adamlawyer.com.
There you go. Now, if you missed your chance to call in with Adam, don't worry. Adam is here every Tuesday for a bonus hour. So if you missed calling in this week, you can call Adam coming up on next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yes.
World Health Organization urges a shift in the treatment of STDs. There's a major league antibiotic resistance going on.
Yeah, that means that the STDs are getting much stronger. So we're
going to get that super strain.
Right. And that's like, you know, if you were like Charlie Sheen or anybody else and you heard some bad news, you know, or some good news, would be, yeah, you got some chlamydia. Oh, cool. You know, it's easy to take care of. No.
Used to be.
Not anymore.
Yeah. You got that gonorrhea, you got that syphilis. Oh, nasty, man, nasty.
That shit's just hurting right now, even thinking about it.
Yeah. They estimate that each year 131 million people are affected with chlamydia around the globe.
Right. By the way, that is a fast growing number, and with all the new strains that are coming out, it's getting crazy.
Yeah, 78 million with gonorrhea and 5.6 million with syphilis every single goddamn year.
Bummer.
Yeah.
More than 1 million people contract an STD every single day. That's bad news.
Yeah,
man.
It's not a good thing.
No.
Nope.
They are all caused by bacteria. All of them.
Right. Nude in the news, a man found naked, accused of forcing his son out of a car in Pennsylvania. Strange situation. Boyd Oki Andrus, 42. Boyd Oki Andrus.
What is he doing?
He kicked his 6-year-old out of the car, still had his 1-year-old in there, and then when the cops finally caught up with him, he was naked and carrying the child who had been injured quite severely, actually.
Yeah.
Pretty wacky.
I guess the police found the kid, I'm guessing, walking naked in a field.
Walking. It was the guy
carrying
the kid.
Oh,
is
that the guy? Kid. Oh, yeah, Jesus Christ.
The dude was. And in Ohio, a Dublin man apparently found naked at a Kroger after he had smoked some weed and taken some Xanax. Yeah, I'm out. Oh, over there on Sawmill Road.
Yeah.
You know
well,
the one.
Sure I do.
Right.
But I got to tell you, though, Dublin, Ohio, not just the home of the great Brady Quinn, quarterback, Notre Dame, but also a place that I think you should be able to take Xanax and not get naked.
Right. They say he was completely naked and his genitals were exposed. Isn't that redundant?
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
I like that. When the cop showed up, he was laying in the middle of an aisle.
Right.
I wonder what aisle he picked to lay down. Was he in the frozen food section? Maybe the cereals. Right. I don't know.
There might have been some shrinkage. In South London, a bunch of people playing Pokemon ran upon a couple in some sort of a park, were completely naked and getting it on, and they, according to the paper, carried on while the crowd watched.
Well,
and their
why,
pictures.
Why should you stop?
The girl's quite the package.
Why should you stop?
Dude has his pants around his ankles, still has his underwear on. The chick is completely naked. She's big. She's a big girl.
Yeah, usually, you know, it's not the kind of, you know, couple that you want to see, you know what I mean?
Like, no. I'm
the
gonna go ahead and guess the
massive.
Guy. Yeah, I wonder if they were still getting out of the guy was trying to cover her up. You know, I don't know, but it's pretty fucking funny because they posted the picture.
By the way, it almost—I mean, it doesn't. The girl doesn't even look real,
right? And then finally, there's this chick in Eugene, Oregon. She was getting her senior photo taken, and they went to this kind of remote location with this beautiful lake. You know how Oregon is? It's beautiful. You got the sunshine, the trees, the water, the whole thing. And right in the middle of the photo session, a nude guy walks up with his dog, just comes right out of the woods and gets into the water.
Yeah, nude dude and dog. Bad situation.
It's also, by the way, do you think she's good? I think she's smoking. I can't quite tell. Jillian Henry.
Yeah, she's.
She can't see her face.
Right. I'm going to guess that she's on the cusp of becoming 18 at some point in the near future.
All right.
And well, I think the future's going to be good.
Jillian keeps blocking her. Oh, yeah, she might be a little buttered if you go to her.
Her Twitter page? Yeah. That's where I'm at, too. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, not so good. Plenty more news for guys.com, and of course...
It's better than the broad in London or whatever, yeah, New London.
You can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we are back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
It's going fantastic for her.
That's great, sweetie.
Thank you.